is worthy of our praises, from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same. You are welcome to this session of the service in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, we adore you, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege of gathering together as your own children, to have fellowship one with another and also with you. Lord, I ask that you use my vocal cord to speak to your children. Father, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I yield myself, spirit, soul, and body unto you. Father, I want to speak as your oracle. Confirm your word with signs and wonders following, even across this congregation, as many as we hear, O Lord, Father, online, across the globe. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about a particular subject. Some of us may be very familiar with it, and some not so familiar. The title is, What is the End Time Message? Praise God. Yes, we hear about the grace message. We hear about prosperity, gospel, and there is also the end time message. Why end time message? Because we are in the end times. Amen. There are prophecies in the Bible telling us about what will happen at the end times. Not necessarily the end of the world, but the end times. Let us read Joel chapter 2, verse 25. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. But before then, let's watch this video clip. It's a short one and it's relevant to the message. Please, can you put it up? The title of the song. The title, Nations Are Breaking, Israel's Awakening.
Be filled with the
Amen. Praise the Lord. The first song says, Israel, nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. You know what is happening in Israel at this time? Every child of God in this end time, we should watch what is happening there. Why? Because prophetically, Israel is God's prophetic clock. And Jerusalem is the minute hand. So we can't afford to do otherwise. Luke 21:36 says we should watch and pray. Part of the watch is to watch the news, watch what is happening. There's realignment of nations at this time. Some people, there's somebody who sent a post and said we should pray so that there will be no third world war. Should we pray that there will be no third world war? Thank you. You are prophetic students. There are some conditional prophecies and there are some unconditional prophecies. One of the unconditional prophecies is that Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming to take his bride home in the rapture, in the translation. And after that, desolations are determined upon the world, particularly upon the Antichrist system. So are we going to say, God, there'll be no judgment for the Antichrist system? Because the Great Tribulation is actually a time not only for persecution of the left behind sense, but particularly a time to punish the Antichrist system for what they have done against the children of God down through the ages, even to the present time. Praise the Lord. The Great Tribulation is not meant for us. What will happen is the translation. It will happen before the Great Tribulation. And that's our prayer that we'll be ready when Jesus comes. In John chapter 2, verse 25, please, can you put it up? It tells us that the end time there will be a restoration revival. Restoration. Why restoration? Because the church started on the day of Pentecost, and from then till now, the church has passed through a lot of process. In fact, the man of God calls the present church state as processed Christendom. It has been processed. Is no longer the original as it ought to have been, as in the early church. So there is need for revival. There is need for restoration revival, and God has promised in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, I will restore, saith the Lord. What the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm have eaten, the locust, the Lord said he will restore. All these are spiritual attacks against the church of God. Over through the dark ages until the present time. God said he will restore. What is he going to restore? He's going to restore true doctrine. He's going to restore holiness. And he's going to restore the prophetic ministry as well. Because the Lord God will do nothing but reveal his secret to his servants, the prophets. Amos chapter 3 verse 7. When God wants to do a major thing, he will always speak through his servants. In the time of Eli, when it was time for Eli and his household to be judged, God had to prepare somebody, and that was Samuel, Prophet Samuel. And he spake, and it was a transition period. In this end time, God has sent prophets, not just one. But have we heard what the prophet has said? Have we heard the message of the prophets of the end time? This is your day. This is my day. This is our day of divine visitation, and we should take heed to what God is saying to us. Israel did not recognize their day of visitation, and they missed it, and even crucified the Messiah who was sent to them. That is why Israel is in that position today. It's always war, 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 war. Hardly peace. Have you ever heard that there's real peace in Israel? No. Always surrounded by enemies and all that. They rejected the Messiah. Nevertheless, God has not given them up. Because some Christians have the belief that the church has replaced Israel. That's called replacement theology. But it's not so. The church has come in to stay, but immediately the church leaves or the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled, then God will focus back on Israel again. If you read Romans chapter 11, verse 25, we tell you that. Praise God. The end times are upon us. The event Jesus and the apostles said will come to pass are happening. Not that they are going to happen. There are evil occurrences, inventions, and spectacular signs and wonders. This is also a time of great moving of the Spirit of God. Amen. It's not only on the other negative side, but positively, there is the move of God that God has promised us at this time. God has promised us a quick, short, powerful move. Now, it's going to be short-lived, but it's going to be a powerful revival. There have been revivers that have the former rain, the latter rain, and this quick, short, powerful move will lead the bride to heaven. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19, says that when the enemy shall rise up like a flood, Lord God will raise up his standard. That's exactly what God is going to do now. There's so much news about evil inventions, evil occurrences, gross immorality all over. Even pedophiles, they want to be recognized now as a group. Yes, pedophiles, you know who they are. Those who assault little children. So they want to be recognized. They want to say that they were born that way. Can you imagine? Maybe armed robbers, we also seek to be recognized. You say, look, you see, that's how we're born. We're born with that trait. We just want to, you know, live. That's how we are. So it's terrible. This time where the Bible says that truth shall become called a lie. And lie called truth. Good called evil. And evil called good. Isaiah 5 verse 20. So God is going to march. He's going to set up a revival among his own children. He's lifting up his standard. I pray that I'll be among the standard. Amen. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1 says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. So there are promises of restoration revival. Daniel 11 verse 32 says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Amen. Amen. Yes, it's not only the evil one. They have evil inventions and they are doing so many things. Satanists are even preaching their kind of gospel, you know, to recruit members. So these are the times. And God is raising up his standards. There are a multitude of other scriptures indicating that the church is in for a good time, including the manifestation of the sons of God. Yeah. Romans 8, verse 19. God has promised that there's going to be manifestation of the sons of God. Are you sons of God? Yeah. Amen. Yeah, wait for the breakthrough. Beside the miraculous, God is calling out his children to a message of preparation for the greatest event that will happen in church history, beside the initial baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. That was a great event. What we are saying is that from that until now, the greatest event that will happen will be the translation of the bride, will be the rapture. Some people say rapture is not in the Bible, but it means translation. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So if you want to be in the translation, you will have to please God as well. Amen. Praise God. God has promised us in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 52. Say, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Why the Bible say, I show you a mystery? It means something. There's something hidden there. There's something stranded there that is not so clear to everybody. It's a mystery because we know about Elijah's translation. It was translated. Enoch was translated. Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, he was translated. We know about that. The mystery is that this time around, not just 1, 2, 3. Multitude of the children of God, they'll be translated at once. They will leave the earth at the same time to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. That's the rapture. The end time message is a message of restoration, of true doctrines and power of the early church. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. And I will restore unto you the years that the locust had eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. God allowed it. But at the end time, there's going to be restoration. The message, we're talking, the message is, what is the end time message? The message reveals the truth of Jesus being the true God and true man, rather than just being called a prophet or a righteous man. That is one of the truths. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, Bible says, and we know the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You'll be surprised that people still doubt the divinity of Christ. There are some people in some Christian circles because they would rather believe that there are three in one God rather than one God in three manifestations. We are told that great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, preached unto glory and received unto glory. That's God. One God. Not two gods. Not three gods. Praise God. The message reveals the rising up also of the Antichrist, Antichrist system, and all false churches and all world religion form, we form an amalgamation of one world religion, one world government, and one world financial system. Have you heard about it? This is beyond ecumenism. This is beyond all churches come together. This one now involves churches, both true and false, and all false religions. There are thousands, more than 4,000 religions in the world. Let me name some of them just to, for your understanding. So the Antichrist system is already at work. Even though it's not revealed, but his system is already at work, and they have already agreed to this one world religion. It's not news. Not that they will. They have already. So it's for us to be aware and not to be part of it. Because this one world church will form the Antichrist bride. The Antichrist also has a bride. You want to describe the bride? Revelation 17 and Revelation 18. Now, this unity of all world religion will include more people. That is Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I suppose you know they aren't true. They are just like Jehovah's Witness. Jehovah's Witness will be there. Catholicism will be there. Witchcraft, African traditional religion will be there. Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, Baha'ism, Confucianism. Amok, Voodoo, Ogboni, I said all kinds of religion you can think of. They are all there. What they are saying that we should all unite because God created all of us. But we are not all children of God. But some people say we are all children of God, but it's not so. John chapter 1 verse 12, what does it say? As many as received him, Jesus, he gave them power. He gave them rights. He gave them the privilege to become sons of God. So we are born to be members of the body of Christ. We don't join church. Though we talk about going to church and all that, those are just slang. They are not biblical. I'm going to church. You don't go to church. You are born. If you are born again, you are a member of the church, the body of Christ. Amen. So we need to know, if this one word religious comes into play, they start the activity, it means every other kind of church or congregation that doesn't belong to it, no, they'll be singled out and persecuted. That is what it means. So there's going to be persecution too in these end times, apart from just revival, with persecution. Praise the Lord. Now, what is evil about this? They want to bring peace, world peace. Who doesn't like peace? I like peace. You like peace. Everybody likes peace. But let me tell you, the Bible describes this kind of peace as false peace. By peace, they will destroy many. Many will be destroyed because it's a deception. Let us all come together, and then we are all together praying to a God, but not Jesus Christ. They are also going to replace these Bibles that we have now. They are going to have a new Bible. I'm telling you about the Antichrist system. They already are at work. They are going to have a new Bible that will replace all these other King James Version, etc., etc. And what are they going to have there? They are not going to have Jesus Christ as being the Savior of the world. They are not going to have Acts chapter 4, verse 12, where the Bible says that there is no other name given among men whereby we can be saved. They are going to remove all that. They are going to doctor it and produce their own kind of Bible. These are end time events. So the end time event is to reveal these things that are happening and will yet happen. And of course, out of the system will come forth the Antichrist. There is the Antichrist. In the Bible, there's the word Antichrist, plural. Meet people with that kind of spirit. They were there. They were false teachers, false teachers, false prophets in the early church. But in the end time, there will be the Antichrist. Time will not permit to delve into these specifics, but it's a general admonition. Praise God. The message reveals the rising of the Antichrist system. The true children of God are to come out of the Antichrist system. Revelation 18, verse 4. Please, let's put it up. 18, verse 4. Come out of her, my people, that ye may not be partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. What is going to happen is that is the Adinekonos, Antichrist, you know, mystery Babylon. You are to come out of it. You are not to be part of it. The revival that God has promised is going to be outside of mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon is how God described this amalgamation of churches and unity of churches. And please don't confuse this with John 17 prayer, wherein Jesus Christ prayed for the unity of the church. I've told you what constitutes the church. If you are born again, wherever you are, all over the world, you are members of the body of Christ. And also, note that Christ is not coming for congregations in the translation. Not coming for congregation. He's coming for those who are ready. Members of the bride. Members of the church that are rapture ready. They are not those who don't even know whether Christ is coming soon. These are people who will be ready. They know that Jesus Christ is coming soon and they get ready. In fact, the Bible says the bride makes herself ready. Praise God. The message, the entire message creates a spiritual hunger for the saints to endeavor to attain to the goal of the overcomer. There's a test, there is a hunger to endeavor to be among the overcomers of the end time. If you read the seven letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, you find that God will always admonish, to him that overcometh, will I give a new name. In fact, virtually all the churches, promise. There's a promise for the overcomer of every age. We are in the last church age.
There's not going to be any other church age. This is called the Laodicean church age. Revelation chapter 3 describes the church of Laodicea. It's characterized by lukewarmness. A church that is lukewarm. But a church that is very rich physically, financially. That's why Lord said, buy of me gold tried in the fire. If you listen, if you watch the letter to the church in Laodicea, God said, buy of me gold tried in the fire. That's figurative. That it should pass through a process and the Lord will cleanse you and all that, make you ready for his coming. Praise God. Otherwise, the church is great as lukewarm. And God said, you have to repent. The church has to repent. Otherwise, he will spew them out of his mouth. And nobody wants to be spewed out. Praise God. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Revelation 3, verse 2. That's just one of the overcomer messages. The message revealed the supremacy of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ above every other name. In baptism, that baptism is done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, which says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It was when I received this end time message that I got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Previous to that, I had been baptized with just, they call it, it's not immersion, they just rub you some water. They say you are baptized. You don't go inside the river. But you see, examine what happened in the early church. All baptism were done by immersion. In fact, the word baptism comes from a Greek word, baptizo. It means to be immersed, to be fully immersed. And every case we see in the New Testament, people were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and by immersion. The Ethiopian eunuch, for example, when Philip was asked to go and minister to the Ethiopian eunuch, it was the Ethiopian eunuch, after he had received Christ, who said, oh, there is water here. What stops me now from being baptized? He said, of course not. If you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, you have accepted him and your sins are forgiven, you can be baptized. And right there, he was baptized in Acts chapter 8. Can you imagine that? In Christianity today, what we have? We have to go for catechism. We have to go for special lessons for such a long, long time before maybe you are baptized. So Bible baptism is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by immersion. The message, the entire message, gives understanding of the seven church ages. What seven church ages? Prior to this entire message, I never knew anything about seven church ages. In fact, we used to just sidetrack the book of Revelation or the book of Apocalypse. See, it's too difficult. It's too deep to understand. As if it's in heaven we are going to understand the book of Revelation. It is right here on earth. Praise God. So, the message gives us clear understanding of the seven church ages, the seven seals. You read the book of Revelation, find that there are seven seals. The seven seals are how the Lord will take over the rulership of the present world in the millennium. Millennium is not far away. If rapture takes place, the Great Tribulation is just about 3.5 years, second part of the Great Tribulation. And after that, the great day of the Lord, which is just a short period of time, and the millennium. And the saints of God will reign with Christ. Praise God. But there are Christians who will be left behind who are not ready, because you read Matthew chapter 25, it tells you about the wise virgin and the foolish virgin. The wise virgins signify those who are ready. Anytime, any day, Jesus comes, they are ready. But the other ones, they were not ready. So prophetically, there are some people who will not be ready, and those are the ones that will be left behind after the translation. Those are the ones that their persecution will be greater than what any other Christian has suffered. And many of them will die for their faith. Because they will not take the mark of the beast. Without the mark of the beast introduced by the Antichrist system, you cannot buy, you cannot sell. You cannot go to school, cannot go to work. You cannot access your bank account. In other words, you can't do anything. You can't renew your, you can't pay your light bill. So you think, oh, I will just stay in my house. Under cold or heat, you stay in your house. Some people say, I will run. With their satellite system, you cannot run and you cannot escape. That is why Jesus says in Luke 21, verse 36. Let's read that one. Luke 21, verse 36. Say, watch ye therefore and pray always that it be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. Praise God. Until the entire message, the book of Revelation was like a mystery book. Never to be understood until eternity. The book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 11, has something to say about this. And this is what it says. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one at his learning, saying, read. This I pray thee. And he said, I cannot read it. It is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I am not learned. What it means is that this revelation, the book of Revelation, was a sealed book until God decided to open it through his servants. Amen. Also in Revelation 5, 1 to 10, there is a scene in heaven where there's a book sealed with seven seals, and nobody could open that book. Nobody was found worthy, but thanks be to God, the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ, he came up and he opened the book. And so John was saying, don't cry anymore because the Lamb of God has done it. Amen. Yes, Amos 3:7 said, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret to his servant, the prophet. In this regard, he pleased the Lord to reveal the first six seals through his prophet, William Marion Branham. He was the one singing in that video. And the seventh seal through near Frisbee. These two prophets of this generation have done their jobs and they are now in glory. Some of the truths revealed through the administration, the seven churches, the seven seals, the prophetic scrolls, and they are connected with the seven thunders. The seven thunders. If you read Revelation chapter 10, it tells you that there were seven thunders and the message was not to be written because it was coded. But at the end, it will be revealed. Praise God. Deuteronomy 29 verse 29 says, the secret things belong unto God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the works of the Lord. Proverbs 25 verse 2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of king is to search out a matter. The entire message also revealed the mystery of the true and false vine in the body of Christ. Because in the body of Christ today, you hear a lot of stories, even in the body of Christ today, how that a pastor has done this, many of them involved in gross immorality. You begin to wonder, what is happening? The church of God, there's a mystery behind it because it is a mixed multitude. In Matthew chapter 13, we are told about the parable of the sower. He went out to sow good seed. But at night, what happened? The enemy sowed bad seed. And the servant said, Master, we know we planted good seed that day. Let us go and weed out the weeds. Let's go and root them out. He said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Because in an attempt to get out the tares or the weed, you get out the true wheat. So leave them to grow together until the end of the age. The angels will do the separation. This is the end of the age, and angels doing the separation. People are binding over. Some people are getting bound to this one world religion already. They will not have any gospel to preach anymore. They can't boldly say then that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior because their mouth has been shut. They have compromised their faith. Many are compromising their faith at this time. We should pray for one another and take it to ourselves, because anytime now the Lord will show up. Amen. The message makes clear the difference between the rapture and the second coming of Christ. The rapture or the translation is not the same thing as the second advent of Christ. The rapture is when Christ comes in the air, he takes his bride unto himself. We go up. In the second advent, we come down with Christ to do what? To judge the Antichrist system. In Jude, verse 14 and verse 15, tells us how that the rapture saints will come with 10,000s of the saints and angels, come with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's at the second advent, to do something, to judge. Praise God. The message provides the rapturing faith that the bride needs at this crisis time. Amen. The message is a cleansing message. It purges the church and will result in a quick, short, and powerful move before Jesus comes. The earnest expectation of the creatures waited for the manifestations of the sons of God. Now, what do I do? What do you do to prepare for the rapture? Because that's the way of escape that God has provided in Luke chapter 21, verse 36. He that had his hope in him purify himself as he is pure. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. There's need to keep ourselves pure. How do you keep yourself pure? By the word of God. Taking heed to the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 9 and verse 11 tells you that. It is of utmost importance to live holy lives, without which no man can see the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 14. We should look forward to Jesus coming and be expectant always. Hebrews 9, 28 says, so Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time unto salvation. Unto them that look forward to his coming. Are you among those looking forward to his coming? Some are not concerned. They are complacent. The Laodicean spirit. It doesn't matter spirit. They are not concerned whether Jesus is coming. Or they think maybe it's coming 1,000 years. You know, in fact, where they are doubting whether we really come again. We are to watch and pray. The word watch comes from a Greek word agrupneo, which means to be attentive, to be ready, to be awake, to be sleepless. This is not time to slumber. It's not time to slumber. We are also expected to be zealous and not to be lukewarm. Revelation 3:19. He will spew those who are lukewarm out. I don't want to be spewed out. We should actively win souls, because God said, Jesus said, we should occupy till he come. Occupy with the Father's business. Intimacy with God by spending much time in his presence is also very essential. Reading, studying, and meditating upon the word of God is very crucial. More so, as we know that the Bible as we have it now will be taken away. It is not enough to understand the signs of the times, to even know all those signs like the sons of Issachar. It's not enough. Why? Because even at the first coming of Jesus, it was not enough for the people to know that Jesus Christ will be born in Bethlehem. There are some people who knew that, oh, this is where he will be born. But did they see Jesus? They didn't see baby Jesus. Let me tell you that the wise men, they saw Jesus. Prophet Simeon, he saw Jesus. Prophetess Anna saw Jesus. They were aware that Jesus Christ will soon be born, and they kept on praying and expecting, and they saw baby Jesus. But on the other hand, these other people, they knew too that Jesus was soon coming and where he would be born, they knew. The chief priests, did they see Jesus? No. The scribes, did they see Jesus at birth? No. King Herod, who was so much afraid, did he see Jesus at birth? No. But they were aware of the signs. So it's not enough to be aware of the signs. That look, the signs are so evident, Jesus is coming soon. But to prepare and be
be ready. Amen.
In summary, the end time message is a message of preparation to prepare the bride. They have to be prepared. It's a message also to call them out of this amalgamated union of churches and false religions. Revelation 18:4. It is also to separate them from the false vine, that is true vine and the false vine. It's also a message to purge. He that had this who purged himself, and also to manifest the sons of God, to restore the church to its original state, and to translate the bride. Amen. This is what the end time message is all about. And God has used two notable men of God, Neil Frisby and William Branham. William Branham was the first one that God sent, and he ministered. He opened the first CCs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. When he came to the 7th C, he admitted, he said it directly, that he couldn't really decode it. He couldn't really understand it. And he believed, according to his words, time will not permit to read all that, that somebody else will come. And that himself will decrease, while that one will increase. Praise God. So if you want to have access to the mercy, where do you go? There are so many sites on social media. Nearfrisbee.com. That one will open you to many others. And then williambraham.org. Just that. Just Google it and there you are. See his messages. Who were the contemporary of William Branham? Gordon Lindsay. He wrote a book, Branham, A Man Sent from God. Brothers and sisters, please read that book. I read it. You become sober. And you see humility in action. You see signs and wonder, divine vindication. How that God will vindicate that man of God with signs, with light, you know, the cloud of glory and the pillar of fire. Severally, I can't tell you everything, but you have to search out yourself. As for Brother Frisby, who just went to be the Lord not too long ago, 2005, you know, a man wrote a book about him, W.V. Grant, Creative Miracles. Indeed, there were creative miracles in his ministry. We are going to experience the same. Because in Branham's ministry, we saw the supernatural. In the Frisbee ministry, we saw the supernatural. The bride will also experience the supernatural. Amen. That is what we should pray for and crave for and cry for and ask for. Amen. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. You'll be listening to this message and it looks somehow difficult to you because we're talking about the end time. Indeed, we are in the end time. What you need to do, you need to be born again. Very, very important. If you are not born again, there's no way you can even say you are a child of God. If you are not born again, you cannot be a member of the bride of Christ. If you are not born again, you cannot be a member of the church of God. So you have to be sincerely born again. And then you're already born again, you have to test and hunger after righteousness. Don't be complacent. Don't say, oh, it doesn't matter. That book is so difficult, book of Revelation. How can I understand it? This is the time because we're in the end time. It's not in heaven. In heaven, you don't need to study the Bible. Praise the Lord. So this is our opportune time, our Kairos time, and we need to take advantage of what God has done for us. The messages are still very much there. And this, for example, is a just a brief summary of some of the prophetic writings of Brother Frisby. He wrote them, and then he would send them monthly. But at the time, we had just about 62 scrolls in one book. But brethren expanded it. As we got more letters, they put them all together. So we have 320 scrolls. All these are for you. Praise the Lord. You can also access it online, all these ones. May the Lord God help every one of us in Jesus' name. I want us to pray concerning those who want to give their life to Christ. Yes, this moment is for you. Just acknowledge that you are a sinner and that you need Jesus, the Savior of the world. He will accept you, he forgive your sin, he will cleanse you and make you a brand new creature. If you have already fallen from the faith, you are among those who are propagating falsehood in the church of God, repent. Like the prodigal child, the Lord will accept you back in the name of Jesus Christ.
If you are there, you are a Christian, born again, Holy Ghost filled, you need to live holy lives. It's not enough to speak in tongues. And your character is like that of the devil. You have to resemble Christ. You have to have Christ-like character. Those are the things that will get you prepared for the rapture. May the Lord help each and every one of us to be rapturable at Jesus' coming. Amen. God bless your hearts.